Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 26, and we've just read verse 16. I'll read it again, but we're talking about these dimensions here. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the breadth of one board. So we know each board is 15 feet tall by 27 inches wide. And so what we're looking at now is the thickness of those boards.
Right. And then we were rushing before the break to try to get that in. But Heather's drawn this out. If you look at this, we've already determined that because the structure is 15 feet high on both sides and the curtains are 45 feet wide, and they touch down to the ground or to the sockets on either side, then that's 30 feet minus, and then you take the 45-foot curtain of goat hair, and so that leaves 15 feet. So we determine the outside dimension of the west side is 15 feet, the west side being the back side of the tabernacle. Okay? Now, if we looked at the six boards, he specifically states that there are six boards on the west side or the back side of the tabernacle.
Right.
And the dimensions of those boards are 15 feet high, 27 inches wide. And so if you multiply six boards, six times the 27 inches, you get 13.5 feet. Well, we know that the tabernacle is 15 feet, the outer dimension of it is 15 feet wide. And so when you subtract that 13.5 from 15, then it leaves 18 inches.
Right, 1.5 feet.
Okay. Now, he goes on to say, well, let me just start with this. Then, if you divide the 18 inches into two, because you've got north side, south side, right? Then you get 9 inches. And so from that, we determine that these boards are 9 inches thick on either side, which equals the 15 feet, okay? Then he went on to say, now there's two more boards on the west side. That's corner boards. And so if you can, I don't know if you can see this, but there's acting as brace. In other words, you come in the corners and put that extra board. It's not changing the width. And so actually in that corner, you have 18 inches support in these corners. Does that make sense? Okay.
So you have and 8 boards.
And if you can't see this from where you're sitting, we can pass this around. Now, obviously, this is not drawn to scale. Goes the board. This is not big enough for what we were needing. But you have 20 boards on the north side and on the south side times 15. That's where you get the 45 feet. And so we determined that this structure, the framework, to hang the curtains, then is 45 feet long and 15 feet wide. So you clear with that? Okay.
We'll pass that so y'all can see this. And in verse 17, 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle.
So all the tenons, all the boards were to have 2 tenons cut in them, equally spaced in that 27 inches. Now there's drawn this, for those that don't know what a tenon is, okay, mm-hmm. This is actually a protrusion. In other words, you cut out here, you cut out here. And so in these boards, you have 2 tenons in each board. These boards are not setting on the ground. God's smart. You don't want them rotting, right? And so these tendons are cut to go down into a base, okay, a socket or whatever. Well, this is a socket. This is what you call a mortise and tendon joint. This being the mortise, this being the tendons. Okay? So those tendons slip up in there like a piece of puzzle going together. And these are on the ground supporting. Okay?
These are silver. Okay? Does that make sense? Did y'all know what a tendon was? I didn't. I had no idea. All right. Verse 19. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, there shall make 6 boards.
So for that paper that you're looking at with the socket on it, that's actually 2 sockets, okay? 2 under each board, okay? So the tenons sat down there. How many boards are there? 20. So how many sockets are there if there's 2 under each board? There's 40 sockets. And what were those sockets made of?
Silver.
Say it loud.
Silver.
Silver. Now I want you to think about that. You're talking about elaborate. Think about that with the sun hitting it. Okay? It'd be something, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They're only seen inside so the sun didn't hit it, did it? Now I want you to think about this. Only the priest could see the inner part of that tent. So they saw the silver sockets. The people didn't because the goat's hair hangs down too. Maybe they were exposed enough that you could see the glimpse. You with me? But very elaborate.
Okay. Verses 23 and 24. Now we're talking about the west side here. And 2 boards shall thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 corners, and they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners.
The corner boards that you see on the west side, where they say rings, I would say bands. They have bands to hold those together. The word for strength, obviously, okay, so they don't come apart, okay. And so, here again, this is well thought out by God, okay.
It is.
Now, I want you to also think about the craftsmanship involved in making all this. This stuff has to fit, and it has to fit in such a way that it can be assembled and disassembled. And so we're talking about some precision involved in all this with the sockets, with the tenons, with the bands that go down on the corner post. And so you're looking at tremendous craftsmen. As a matter of fact, you'll find as we go through Exodus, Bezalel is the one that's basically overseeing this operation, okay? God had said God had filled him with wisdom to know how to do this. And Aholiab and other wise-hearted people, God had given the people wisdom to know how to make what needed to be made. He gave them wisdom to know how to embroider, wisdom to know how to spin goat's hair into threads and make curtains and all this type thing. the linen and all these things. So there's a ton of craftsmanship involved in this. There's nothing sloppy about this. You follow? Okay.
Verse 23. And two boards shall thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the two sides, and they shall be coupled. Did I read that?
Yeah, you're right. 26. No.
What verse am I on, y'all?
Well, you did. Did you do the 25th verse? 16 sockets on the rest.
Okay, thank you. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board.
Now, he specifically talks about the west end, okay? We know there's 6 boards, the width, and then he talks about the corner boards. And so there's 2 sockets under each board. The corner boards make 8 sockets on the west, 8 boards on the west end. And so there's 16 of these sockets on the west end, okay?
All right, verse 26. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the two sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars. And thou shalt overlay the bars with gold.
All right, we're talking about braces to support the wall, to keep it plumb, okay? Now, the thing that we saw on this one video showed that to be 5 braces, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
like
going full length. What would that make the brace? 45 feet long, overlaid with gold. Now, how are you going to transport that?
That's 5 feet taller than this building.
Think about it. And here again, I believe it's interpretation. Instead of having 5 different bars, I believe what it means is there's 5 put together that go the full length of the walls, the side walls.
Mm-hmm.
So that would make them 9 feet long, which would be manageable to put on a wagon and to transport, right? And these boards are overlaid with gold. That means they're heavier than your normal board, right? But here, again, think about how elaborate that is. Overlaid with gold. So we're trying to use some common sense involved in it and trying to give you a contextual paraphrase rather than a word translation, which I think misses a lot. He does not, he's not specific. He just says 5 braces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what trips him up, he says the brace is to go through the center. And the way the King James Version words it is the center brace. But I believe that if you word it properly, it would be the braces to run through the center of the boards from the front to the back. In other words, that would be 7.5 feet from the ground. And then that would leave 7.5 feet at the top running across for support. That's manageable. Can you imagine 10 45-foot poles? What kind of wagon you going to carry those on?
Semi.
I mean, you're talking about tractor and trailer. You know, the trailers used to be 45 feet long. They're 53 now. And a 45-foot long, you've got to set yourself up to negotiate a turn. You understand? And you're going to go through the wilderness with a wagon that the horses are pulling. Think about it. And so, this is the way that I have this worded in here again. You, by all means, you check me out, okay? Five bars or braces, 9 feet long, were to be made for the north and south side, and five bars or braces, 3 feet long, were to be made for the west side. The bars or braces were to be located in the middle of the board, 7.5 feet from top to bottom. The bars or braces were to go the full length of the side and back walls. The boards and bars or braces were to be overlaid with gold, and the bands that coupled the corners were to be made of gold also.
It's pretty interesting.
It's very elaborate. But I'm struggling with a 45-foot long brace. You with me? Okay. And here again, it's a matter of the way it's worded and translated. And what I found is one translation just copied another translation. Any of you ever seen a 45-foot bow? I mean, think about this. These boards were just the uprights, 15 feet tall and 27 inches wide and 9 inches thick. Now you have 20, and 20 is 40, and 6 is 46, and 2 is 48 boards just for the outer structure. That's not talking about the columns to hang the veil on or to hang the curtain in front of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 48 boards that long, that wide, that thick. You're talking weight. Now, if you go into Numbers and you look, the Moorites are the ones who were responsible for the framework. The Gershonites were responsible for the coverings or the hangings, the curtains. And here was a stipulation that those who were utilized in service, in other words, in setting this up, taking this down, their age was from 30 to 50, the prime of their life, the strength. Maturity, not before they're 20, not after they're 50. And so they're utilizing people, the Levites, in the peak of their strength to do this. Why? Because this is heavy stuff. This makes good common sense, and it's sacred stuff. So you don't want some immature person mishandling this, and something's not fitting, and them start beating it around or kicking it around.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be fitted as a craftsman, okay?
Verse 30. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof, which was showed thee in the mount.
So, we're talking about the veil that's going to separate the Holy of Holies from the holy place, okay?
Not yet.
Where are you?
30.
Am I at the wrong place?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Am I ahead of you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Build the tabernacle like you've seen it and do not deviate from the pattern. This is what God told Moses. You be sure that everything made is according to the pattern. Now, we were talking, Polly and Heather and I were talking during the break, that of the significance, that this tabernacle had significance. It's a pattern Moses saw something in heaven. And this is somewhat of a replica in the natural of what he saw in heaven. So there is tremendous significance to this tabernacle. I don't know it all. I know very little of it, to be honest with you. But one thing I know that is pointing to. Now, if you think about it, this tabernacle is mobile, right? I believe this thing, I've got the number somewhere, but off the top of my head, it seems like Israel encamped at like 40 some places. One location to another location to another location. Think about setting up, tearing down, setting up, tearing down, setting up, tearing down. When they said break camp, that was serious. Okay? Pointing to what? To the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is to be mobile. Solomon's temple was stationary, permanent building. You understand? People today are trying to pattern after Solomon's temple, not after Moses' tabernacle. And so that tabernacle is speaking to us that it's a sacred place. The body of Christ is a sacred place. And he didn't say, build it and they will come. He said, you go. And so the church is to be mobile. That's just some of the things that I see with this tabernacle. Okay? Plus, the Lord back many years ago, 30 plus years ago, revealed to me the three-part man in this tabernacle. The body of man as the outer court. The holy place as the soul of man. The spirit as the, or pardon me, the holy of holies as the spirit of man. And yet you see two parts. If you would get an aerial view, you only see two things. You only see a tent and an outer, and a courtyard. Which Paul talks about the inward man and the outward man. And I went before the Lord one time and I said, I don't understand this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I believe it is, he says, you talk about the spirit, soul, and body. And I pray God, your whole spirit, that soul, that body, be preserved blameless. And so you're showing me three parts in 1 Thessalonians 5. But when I look at 1 Corinthians 4, or 2 Corinthians 4, check me out on that. I see two parts. Inward man, outward man. How do I reconcile a two-part man to a three-part man? And the Lord took me to the tabernacle of Moses. And if you think about it, he said, the tabernacle, the tent, is the heart of man. Do you look at Jesus' teaching through the Gospels, and he's always talking about the heart. The heart. So the heart is comprised of soul and spirit. And if you look at it without going into all the detail, the Ark of the Covenant, as we call it, was in the inner part, the most holy place, right? Symbolizing the spirit of man. The inward part of man. And then in the holy place, you had the golden candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. Sorry about that. My fault. Okay? Which symbolizes the soul of man, mind, will, and emotions. And so, yeah, there's much to be gleaned out of this tabernacle. And actually, in Paul's writing, he calls that the church in the wilderness. Pretty interesting, isn't it? A lot to be said. It's still working, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right, verse 31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tachus, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and most holy.
All right, this is the way I've sort of paraphrased this. A veil of white linen, intricately embroidered with blue, purple, and scarlet cherubim, was to be made and hung on four columns made from shittim wood and overlaid with gold. The veil was to be hung on the gold hooks that were attached to the columns. The columns were to be set in sockets of silver, one socket per column. The veil was to be suspended by clasps that attached to the veil to the hooks on the columns. And although the dimensions are not given for the veil, it appears that it was 15 feet high, 15 feet wide, and we surmise that from the boards being 15 feet high and the tabernacle being 15 feet wide. Or we could say 13.5 feet when you look at the interior dimensions. Okay?
Yeah, that's
now,
good.
I've seen pictures in various things of tabernacle, but I've never seen the veil depicted as white. People usually think of it as blue and purple or whatever. But he specifically says white, embroidered with these various colors, which would make it a gorgeous thing to look at. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Verse 34, and thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place.
Now, I'm going to call this a testimony box because it's a box. I don't know why they chose to translate it ark, because that's not what the Hebrew says. It says box. I think of ark as Noah, something that floats, something on water, or the bulrush ark of Moses was in. But it says a box. And so this box is made and overlaid with gold. Okay? But it's made of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Now, we commonly call it the Ark of the Covenant. Why covenant? Because the covenant that God made with Israel, the Ten Commandments, were placed in that box. And so we call it a witness or a testimony. That box was a witness of the covenant. It housed the covenant. So it was a witness to Israel that there was a covenant between God and man. Okay? So, we have this box. And then this box had a lid. Now, King James Version calls it mercy seat. You won't find that in the language. Okay? And actually, I was teaching in another country, and I was teaching on this, and I said mercy seat. He said our translation doesn't say that. I said, well, what does your translation say? He said lid. I said translated as lid. Well, when I got back to the house I was staying in, I had my concordance with me. Back then, a book, not a computer. And so I looked it up. It says lid. I thought, well, they're more accurate than we are, okay? And so this box is covered with a lid, and then the veil divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies, thereby keeping this box of witness or testimony box from the daily activity of the priest. They didn't see it. The priest didn't see it. Only the high priest was able to see this. Okay? Now, I think we'll get more detail a little later on, but while we're here, I'll go ahead and say this. The lid was not made of wood. The lid was made of pure gold, solid gold, forged. It was one piece. And in that one piece of gold, you had a cherubim on either end, facing one another, looking down at the lid. Okay? The blood, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies annually on the Day of Atonement, he put that blood on the lid. Okay? That's why it's called mercy seat. God was extended mercy to the nation for another year, covering the sin of the nation. And so the message being conveyed is this mercy. God's covenant to the people, and that blood of the covenant. Every year it required blood on that. Okay? So the blood was speaking of mercy. Okay? And so that's where they get mercy seat. But think about how elaborate this was. The box, gold plated, that's what covered with gold means. And then the pure gold lid on top of that box. And then think about the weight of it. And so generally when you see things depicted, they look like some little wimpy person. I tell you what, these guys are stout. They having to carry this on their shoulders. You understand? And so I detest ministers, as they call them, clergy today or whatever, being depicted as little wimpy guys that are about half stupid when it comes to common sense. No, these guys were men, buddy. And you'll find they were also warriors, too. They weren't conscientious objectors. We won't even get into all that, okay?
Verse 35. And thou shalt set the table without the veil, and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side.
So once the box of witness, the covenant, is set in the Holy of Holies, the veil is put in place. Then he says, set the table, and he'll give dimensions and all on that later on, I think, to set that table on the north side, and I'm trying to get ahead of myself here.
That's okay.
But this table is what we call the table of showbread. Now, it's called that because the loaves of bread were laid out on the table. It's also called bread of presence. Okay. And so, bread of life, you know, the presence of life, which I equate that to the will of man, which is displayed daily. That's in the holy place. Okay.
And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twin linen wrought with needlework.
Well, let me go back to that verse. Okay. The table's on the north side. This golden, solid gold, one-piece forged candelabra is on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
They're facing one another. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here he doesn't mention the altar of incense yet. that he hasn't, in either place, it hasn't been mentioned. He talks about the curtain on the outside, which some, I think maybe the King James calls it screen. What it is in other words, this is fabric, this is not wooden doors and stuff like this. And there's columns that these curtains are going to hang on, and that is the entrance for the priest to go into the tent. Okay? And so that isolates that tent for people from seeing the activity on the inside. You follow me? So this is exclusively for the priest. That tent is exclusively for the priest. They go into even the holy place. And only the high priest could go in to the inner chamber, the Holy of Holies. And there's so much to say, but we're going to have to stop here because our time's up.
Okay.
But we'll come back to this, and this thing unfolds as it goes along. I hope it makes more sense to you now. Okay.